Episode 431, July 8th, 2019.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
What's up, everybody? It's a show with a brand new chat room, Joe Robinson.
I want to know why we didn't do this 2 years ago. This chat room is so much superior to the one that we were using.
Well, fill everybody in on all the new. Maybe Robbie can speak to it better. Well, first of all, is Gramps, is he on board? Is he logged in? Is he able to use it?
When I came on here, I see Gramps in here. And it's almost impossible to not be able to figure out, but who knows? You know what I mean?
Right.
But I see Gramps in here, but I have yet to see him comment. Yeah. Oh, no. Hi, Jip. Gramps is commenting. He's in.
Well, that's all that matters, to be honest. Not all that matters, but if you can't have Gramps, then you really can't have a chat room.
Robbie, how long did it take you to get Gramps up and running?
About 15 minutes. Not even that, maybe.
That's not bad. I would have said 2 hours.
Is it really? It couldn't be any easier. Now, I understand where Gramps would have trouble was changing his nickname because you got actually have to click on your picture here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's an extra step that he wouldn't know automatically.
But what? There's some pretty cool.
Yeah, what do we got?
Names in chat. You got all the regulars, right?
Matt Colby.
You got 5 week itch. I guess that's the amount of time I've been married to Katie. You have Scott Mosteller, who's the guy who is making the decision regarding who's going to take over for Keith Mills' job on 98 Rock.
Glad to have you, Scott.
Katie's temper is in chat.
Wow.
Mark Quavila's dad, I referenced him. That's where the giant stack of horrible porn came from.
Mm-hmm.
Clout scores in here. Jeff Schimmel, Rob Schimmel's brother, probably not. On and on and on. So good job, guys.
Hey, I just came from 98 Rock, sitting in for Kirk with Marianne. Happy birthday to Marianne Cirk today.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either going in.
I'm going to send her a text while we're on here.
You should do that.
Yeah.
But I talked about this on the air. One of my most popular Facebook likes and Twitter likes ever is something that Tawanda said. Did you read this yet?
No, tell me.
So last night, we're watching whatever, I forget. But she starts saying, hey, who's that comedian that tells that really funny joke? Then she begins to describe a joke that I tell. Not realizing that I'm like, I keep
waiting. I did
waiting
say that. I liked it, right?
And I don't know, probably, maybe. And I said, really? That's like, that's my joke. She goes, oh, it was so funny. I didn't think it was you. I said, well, that's,
jeez.
I know. It's a pretty sick bird, but it's done quite well on the Facebook and on the Twitter. So thank you, Tawanda, for that little dig.
You screwed up on 98 Rock
well,
today.
Okay. So this is a thing that they hadn't, I'd never been in there when they did this. So a guy comes in from WBAL, the news channel.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do that
to
now.
To talk about what
they're going
to
talk about.
The news anchor is going to talk about. So, I guess I wasn't really paying attention. I just didn't put it together. This was a news guy. So before we're going on the air, we're just chatting, and we're talking about Kirk McEwen's brother, Mark McEwen, used to be a weatherman. And then he goes, didn't he do news?
Yeah, he was on like Good Morning America or the Today Show. He's a huge
right.
deal. He was. Opposite Al Roker, right, Robbie? Isn't that correct? Mark McEwen?
That sounds correct, yes.
So then I said, well, that's like similar to Tony Perkins, who did weather on Good Morning America and then did news in D.C. And he goes, yeah, what's he doing now? I said, now he's doing radio. And I said, yeah, he wanted, you know, he did a podcast. He wanted a more creative outlet. I mean, you're just reading the news.
Oh.
And then I go, yeah, it's a good gig, you know, whatever. And then he start, then we're on the air, and I'm like, oh, this guy's the news anchor. He's literally what I shit on that Tony used to do is literally his job, except in Baltimore.
I would have apologized on air, so I wouldn't have had to have faced him off air.
Well, I got a really funny line at the end of his segment, and so he walked away laughing, but he'll be back on tomorrow or Wednesday, and we'll just have this conversation on the air.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. Yeah. That's how I deal with things. Like when the neighbor thing, I always deal with that on air.
Because I literally said, you're just reading the news. And then later realized, oh, that's exactly his job, is the news anchor. Good job, Rob.
Jim Amato said he was a weatherman on the CBS morning show.
Yes. And Tony was on Good Morning America, which is ABC, I believe.
He said, and Benchwarmer said Kirk McEwen's brother is an A-lister, which I don't agree with, but...
Did Mark go to our high school, Joe?
Mark went to Arundel, and then Kirk went to Old Mill.
So we're going to have our buddy Oki on here shortly, and the Dan Ninen documentary, it's blowing up. Where are we at now? We're over 500,000
views? We're over 550,000. I'm actually going to look right now because it is The Rise and Fall of Dan Ninen. Is that right? No, it's called The Most Hated Man in Comedy. Yes. So let me see here. By the way, subscribe to this guy. Yeah, 552,000 views as we speak. Sorry, 552,641 views as we speak. I mean, this thing will hit a million. It's doing about, I think it started today, at 500, it's maybe a little bit below that. It's almost nailing, you know, 70,000 views a day.
Let's do a bet right now. August 1st, how many views will there be?
We
so
got
3 weeks, basically.
Who has, because it will gear down.
Yes.
And right now, I think it got about 70,000 views today. And probably every day
still
it's
still a pretty good clip.
It's a real good clip. But if it goes, you know, 60, 50, 40, and then it starts trickling.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see. What do we got to do to get to a million? 450?
Yeah.
So I'll say August 1st, it'll be at a million.
Okay. I'll say 862,000.
Oh, man. You think it's going to really come to a screeching halt.
You know. And then, so Joe has a million. Robbie, you want in on this?
Yeah, I think it's going to have a million by next week.
Next week?
By August 1st.
It'll have to increase in popularity.
It's going to happen before August 1st.
Okay. Do you want to get in on the bet, or do you want to pick the same answer that Joe had?
Snowball.
Okay. No, what do you think it's going to have on August 1st? 1,000,001? Is that what you're going to say?
1,005,000.
Oh, okay. Jesus. Either way, your price is right in it.
All right. God.
You can go over in this one, all right?
You couldn't have said 1.2 million? All right. You're both 1 million. All right. I'm hoping... hoping Robbie's
yes.
right, the highest.
Robbie and I have the same guess.
Yeah.
Let's all guess.
For a game that they're not playing for any stakes. He's freaking Price is Righting you to win
God,
a showcase showdown.
Robbie made my head explode. I'm not going to go into this whole thing, but Rob, not Robbie, actually annoyed me on our murder mystery group text, and then Robbie immediately, as I was annoyed, piles on. Okay? Now, the pile on... That annoyed me, but what it really annoyed me is that when Robbie goes, I would never waste my time arguing with somebody on Twitter. What? It sounded exactly like something Robbie would do. Just literally have an argument with any... Shoot, he's still pissed off at Mike Finazzo.
Yes, this
so,
is 7 years
yes.
ago. Yeah.
And then I literally said, and I meant it with all sincerity, if you genuinely think, Robbie, that you wouldn't get into a public argument with somebody on Twitter... then you don't know yourself at all. Do you believe that, what you wrote?
What I should have more clearly stated was that I would never have a political argument on Twitter. And
but it wasn't political.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that because I didn't really even read the Twitter. I just was
he just didn't read
busted balls just for the sake of it.
Yeah, but it's not even like a hilarious ball busting. It's literally, you follow what I'm saying? There's nothing funny.
Right.
It was just him coming at me when I was mad.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were, it was heated. I didn't know you were mad at all when I did
that. I didn't, can we talk about that? Because I didn't know, I'm not angry about this, by the way. I'm so
over it too, okay. But yes.
But no, I never, I think my point, it got lost in translation. I don't think it ever came through because you were saying stuff back to me that made me think you didn't know what I was saying.
Well, it wasn't that. I don't necessarily even disagree that I shouldn't have entered into an argument. I made a comment to Luis Gomez.
Yes, argument is strong.
Who I think is funny and also really ally with politically. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And all I was doing was supporting something that another comic, Nick Mullen, said when he said, Luis Gomez was essentially saying, if you don't have experience in an area, it started out you shouldn't speak on it, and then it became...
Saying if you don't own property, a business, or kids.
Right. He definitely diluted his argument to
that. Oh, yeah. It was hyperbolic, and then he backtracked.
He pulled back. And I hate that because I say it all the time. It's almost like I'm not qualified to speak on anything because of where I come from. And I say, what, John Clayton can't talk about football? Like, you certainly can comment on things... But it usually is really only a reason that you say, the only reason you say something like that is to be dismissive of the other person's argument. And Yes. It always frustrates me. So that's the reason that I reacted the way that I did. But that's all I was saying. That's a low resolution way of looking at the world. You don't have kids. You can't comment on kids. You don't live in the inner city. You can't comment on poverty. No. You might have a different perspective, but you clearly can comment on it. And sometimes those opinions have value. Sometimes they don't. It depends on the person, right? But that frustrates me when people try to be dismissive. And that's all that I was saying. And then you didn't say, hey, hey, why are you arguing with this guy on Twitter? And I'm like, okay. I didn't feel like being corrected in our murder mystery text. So that's why I reacted that way. And then Robbie, of course, came in with the haymaker and continued to throw him. So
I was saying... Because this guy I consider one of the good guys in terms of working, not waiting on the industry, carving his own way, starting this podcast, doing this comedy festival, having comics that are from Louis C.K. to the complete super, you would call feminist, and all together. And I'm like, this is a business model. This is a guy that of all the people to argue with on Twitter, usually you debate J.L. Covan, but you know him. Usually you don't go back and forth with a stranger.
Right, and if I had to do it all, and I wasn't going back and forth,
you probably saw it.
And if I had to do it all over again, I probably would not have. It was more me not wanting to kind of be corrected. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
It was much more about that. But anyway, I'm not yet.
Can I jump in with breaking news?
Yes.
Sure.
Matt Colby is trying to help Gramps in the chat room.
What's the matter with him?
Graham says he can't read the chat.
Jeez, seriously?
Oh, no.
It says, can you hold the control button on the bottom left of your keyboard and press the plus sign button, Gramps? Oh, my gosh. Well, sorry, Gramps.
Okay, I want to talk about Cards Against Humanity. Can we talk about that?
Should we talk to Oki first, or should we save that?
Well, what time did you tell him we were going to
talk to him? I told him 8-ish, but it's okay. We can talk about Cards Against Humanity. Sure.
I just want to say one thing, because it was interesting. So, remember, if you get Cards Against Humanity is a card game where everyone takes like 7 cards or whatever, and then they have, like, you know, anything from just one word, you know, turd, to some wacky phrase like, you know, a bowling ball on your ass,
right.
Whatever. And then then there's another card
that has a question.
Yeah,
and
like,
you put down what you believe is the funniest answer.
Exactly. Like, you know, we went bowling, but instead of knocking down pins, we knocked down blank. And then everyone puts of their cards that they have, they put down an answer. And then when you don't, and then you take a new card once you've used that up. So I remember we played this at our friend Jen's house
a few years
ago. And I remember we were arguing
about that.
Right. About I thought things were funnier than you did. If I remember correctly, I think chat mostly was back to you on that because we gave specific examples. I can't remember the examples.
Who cares?
But anyway, so part of this game is if you have a shitty card, you just get rid of it.
Yes.
And then you get a new card. So the question is, Ravi, something to the effect of Mountain Dew has a brand new flavor. It's Mountain Dew blank. So we've gone 6 or 7 times around. Not around, but per person. And so I got eggs is one of my fucking cards. And there's nothing. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to put down eggs. It's not going to win. It's not funny. But it is. At least it's literal. It makes sense. You know, it actually makes sense. And then I put it down. And then whoever's reading it, because we kind of just, you know, they put them. That's a maybe pile. That's good. That's not good. Puts it in the bad pile. I say nothing because, you know, I'm getting rid of the card. They pick another one. And then Joe goes, yeah, it's eggs was horrible. Yeah, I was getting rid of that one. Then he and Katie, they look like two kids on fucking Christmas.
Wait, what, just me and Katie? Justin, you, was it on it?
No, no. You, Katie and you looked at each other like, and you, I'm not saying I haven't seen two people more giddy in my life, but I just can't remember. And they were like, eggs? That's the worst answer. Who would say eggs? And I'm like, I didn't say it was funny. I'm trying to get rid of it to get a new card. And Joe's like, you shouldn't even, you should just hold on to it. I'm like, what? I can't play the game now.
No, there was more to it. First of all,
no, there wasn't.
I knew you were trying to get rid of it, but, well, let me just say this.
You were forcing that joke.
I felt like it was working, but.
It was not an organic shitting on Rob.
But I will say that I was also in a position where I found things probably funnier than they normally.
No, I'm sure that you did.
Normally would have been. But it was, I felt it was funny. As a matter of fact, when we eventually we got to write in our answers.
People kept writing in eggs, which never did well, though, by
and,
the
well,
way.
No, I only wrote eggs in once. Yeah. And that was the very first answer where I wrote kale and eggs, and kale was another shitty answer that you had given in a previous game. But
you did what Joe hates, is like you said something that's not, it's fact. No. It's not worthy of a fact check. You said you should just hold on to it. I'm like, that's what
hey,
I should
the
do.
Way,
I should
way.
Never get rid of the card.
What you're saying that yes. I said, I don't have no recollection.
I know. Okay. I know. It was like a quarterback is about to get sacked, so he throws it out of bounds. And Joe's like, you threw it at the cheerleader. You don't know how to play the game.
Hey, speaking of that, our friend Erica, who we mentioned on here before, and Tommy Simbazo's girlfriend Lou were outside and they were smoking.
Yeah, we heard our friend Sean Gabbert's DC home, which is, I don't know, five bedrooms or something.
I don't know, it's sweet.
Yeah.
Anyway, they see some guy and they end up just shit, like, who the fuck is this guy? This guy looks like the biggest loser I ever saw. Look at this nerd. And they are just shitting on this guy. Meanwhile, it ends up he can hear every word they're saying. Aww. Right?
It also ends up that
it's Sean's roommate.
Yeah, he lives there.
So
he has every right to be where he's at.
After he's in there and they're shitting on him. And eventually he goes, can I just make my dinner in peace? You guys have to. And then they're embarrassed. And then Sean comes out and goes, hey, you want to meet my roommate? And then he proceeds to then introduce these two to the guy that they were. But how do you not know somebody can hear you? That's. You follow what I'm saying? When I heard that story, because we obviously weren't out there when that happened, I didn't understand how somebody couldn't hear or know somebody could hear them, right?
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a great time.
It was a good time. Unless you were Sean's roommate or you had the answer eggs.
What's that called? A crab boil? What is that called? What
he steamed them.
Steamed them.
It was very, very, very good.
Yeah, I did. It looks like too much work to me. I don't know how to do all that crab breaking stuff, but I enjoyed the corn and the sausage and the potatoes.
You didn't eat the crabs.
No, I don't know how to do that.
Oh, man.
I've done it once, and I was like, I'm not.
You weren't happy with it?
No. I'm just like, it's just, I remember it being a lot of work. You know, I'm lazy.
Yeah, I mean, we left a lot of crabs, which was disappointing, but I hope Sean picked them and made crab soup with them, which would have been the responsible thing to do at that point. Yeah, I hope so.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring on the greatest documentarian of all time, Oki. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. These two plan to be wed. It's too bad someone will drop dead.
We're having a wedding and you're all invited. Die Laughing Productions presents Love and Marriage and Murder. It's the bride and groom's big day. Bells will ring, the sun will shine. They'll love until the end of time. The end indeed, because this is a murder mystery, a wedding whodunit. Can you solve it and live happily ever after? Love and Marriage and Murder stars me, 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Joe and Katie Robinson, the real-life newlyweds, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions performers. But the real stars of the show are all you, the wedding crashers in the audience. We have audience roles available for willing volunteers. The rest of you could sit back, laugh, and enjoy a wedding day ruined by an untimely death, and maybe help solve a whodunit.
Debuting August 20th at the Ram's Head on stage in Annapolis. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
a hootie tootie, a hootie tootie, tootie hootie, a hootie tootie, a hootie tootie. I like it.
Yeah,
yes. That's when I said hootie tootie instead of hoity toity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew what you meant.
Yeah. You know what? I think hootie tootie works too.
Well, it might work, but nobody knows what it is. Anyway,
hoity and the blowfish.
We're calling Oki, who is the creator of the documentary that you and I initially refused to participate in.
God, we're
Dan
stupid.
Nine, I'm so dumb. Dan Ninen, the most hated man in comedy, I believe, is the name.
We so he like posted. The audio of his appearance on our show 2 weeks ago, that has like 11,000 views.
15,000
right?
Views, it has, yeah.
15,000.
Yeah, and I'm a little upset Hello? About that. Hey, Oki, how you doing?
Hey, it's the Robin Joe Show.
Well, congratulations first, yeah. Buddy. You have to be thrilled.
No, it's who would have thunk, right?
Yeah.
Dan Ninen. I mean, you said like last time, yeah, he's fascinating, and there needs to be more with this. I don't know if it's going to be me who does it, but
I agree there needs to be more.
Clearly people are very interested in Dan Ninen's story.
First of all, let's start at the beginning, because I want to talk about his success in a minute. But initially, we talked about this the last time he put it up. It contained some of Dan's stand-up. He claimed copyright infringement.
Right.
They took it down. He blurred out all of his stand-up.
Oki
and then
did. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Oki blurred out all the stand-up, put it back up, and then he claimed a second time copyright infringement. And then tell us where the story goes after that.
So he struck the video the first time, and then that's the time I talked to you on the show. And then, yeah, I did a re-edit. I blurred out his footage. I took out there's this one long clip with him talking to Steve Wozniak, where Steve Wozniak is like absolutely just gushing over Dan in the most embarrassing way possible. It's unbelievable. But yeah, so I took that out. I took out the Barack Obama bit. Where he's saying Dan is absolutely hilarious. I took out
just
comedy
for a second. Why
in
do you
beginning.
Why do you feel like you needed to take that out? Not the comedy.
Well, he could have claimed that, oh, this is my copyright material. And it is his. He shot that. Like Dan, he'll take his cameras and his sound equipment to events, and he's the one who, like, he takes care of a lot of that stuff. That's why a lot of the stuff that you find online is actually just from his accounts. So it is his, and he did put quite a bit of money and time and effort into that. So, okay, that's fine. If I can't show his stuff, whatever. So then, yeah, I re-edited the thing. I put it up. He struck that one down. And then I made a video talking about him striking my stuff down, right? And then he struck that down.
Jeez.
Which was unbelievable, because it was just my voice. It was just me talking, saying like, hey, I've been working on this channel for a year and now it's in jeopardy because this guy is falsely using the copyright system to take down just a video that's criticizing him. And people really didn't like that. People,
what do you mean when you say people didn't like that? Tell me how that manifested itself.
So even Rob didn't like that, because Rob retreated it almost immediately. I think he
Absolutely.
Said ridiculous or something.
Yes.
You know? But like a lot of people felt the same way. And so I got some support on Reddit and a lot of support on Twitter, and YouTube dealt with it that night. Because Dan, this is the thing, because it's like I like to picture him in his apartment, just looking at the video and taking my video down and thinking, hey, I'm going to do this third strike right now. And he just dramatically puts his finger down onto the mouse and he's like, blop. And he thinks that my shit's down. And I thought my shit would be down. But turns out I have 7 days until YouTube suspends my account for 3 copyright strikes. I thought it would be taken down immediately. And that was definitely his thinking too when he did that, right? It didn't happen that way. I had more than enough time to put the word out there, and people made a ton of noise, and YouTube dealt with it. And I don't know what's pending, maybe a libel suit or something. I have no fucking idea what Dan's next move is, but for now it stays up, and yeah, it's blowing the fuck up. What the fuck? No, it's crazy.
Do you think Dan was a little overzealous when he struck just the video of you talking about it, and that really hurt him in YouTube's eyes? Because that's clearly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, that he screwed himself.
That was a stupid move on Daniel. Like, I cannot believe that he did that because, yeah, he completely fucked himself by doing that.
Good.
If he didn't do that, he might have had some sort of case against me, you know, saying, oh, these are my pictures. I took these pictures, whatever he wants to say. But once he did that, it was clearly a malicious action on his part where he's just trying to take me down. Not only the video, but me.
Yes.
By, like, doing the third strike. In his mind, I'm done.
What happens to the previous two strikes? They're gone?
Oh, no. Everything was removed.
That's perfect. That awesome. Yeah. So you have no strikes now.
No strikes.
Awesome. Okay, so now let's get to the popularity of it. So I saw, I guess, your most popular video up until this point. What is, was the Frank Dukes video? Is that correct?
Yeah.
And that actually has probably benefited from this as well, because I watched it. You know what I mean? I don't know if you did, Rob, but
I'm going to, because I meant to tell you. By the way, the video is awesome. I hadn't seen it last time we talked. You did an amazing job.
Thank you so much.
So what did you, when you said, all right, well, this is what I hope. I mean, obviously, maybe you thought grander than, you know, people usually feel that way. Oh, I'm going to start a podcast and I'm going to, you know, make $80,000 a month on Patreon or whatever. But then there's a reality, and sometimes that reality is still pretty good. But where is this in terms of your expectations?
Yeah, so I thought this might get like 60,000 in a week. I knew it would do well because the first upload, the first time I uploaded it, it got like 10,000 in about 2 days before Dan took it down. So I knew that it had potential, but not this much. So this was great, and it reinvigorated everything. Yeah, the Frank Dukes video got like another 100,000 views. All of my videos got a ton of views from this, and I tripled in subscribers. It was really fantastic for me.
Yeah, I subscribed. Yeah. Now, I'm reading the comments.
Please do. Everyone should subscribe.
Yeah, you should subscribe. What's the name of the channel? Where would they find it?
Oki's Weird Stories, O-K-I, you know, and then weird apostrophe S, Weird Stories. And Joe, by the way, there was some guy who commented saying he's your son.
You know
is
who that guy? You know
it,
who that guy was? That
son?
Was my son. Yeah.
Is that Robbie?
No, Robbie's my brother.
No shit, huh?
So my son. Awesome. My son. Yeah. I saw that actually because I was reading through the comments because more to see like is this thing getting love? Is it getting? Now I'll say this. There's about. Was there about 3,500 comments?
It's a lot.
It's an unbelievable amount of comments. Okay, and. I try to read some of them. You can't get through all of them. There's so many, right? But they are overwhelmingly positive, right?
Yes.
I don't count these as negative, even though it annoys the fuck out of me, is when people go, I don't even know who this guy is. Well, who gives a shit? That has nothing to do with the story, right? The idea that you don't know who he is, and this is the type of success he's claiming to have, and the giant names that are involved, Mark Maron, Joe Rogan, Russell Peters, the guys who have commented on him, all this stuff. And by the way, we've talked about this. There are people he hasn't even mentioned that yet. You know, Tony Kornheiser, Jim Norton. I mean, there's a lot of people.
The Clean Comedy Club saga.
Oh, my God. There's a story that where he screenshotted me that he was calling the, I think it was NBC. And
Obama.
Yeah, down the list. He had a missed call from Barack Obama. Just so many great stories. I forget a lot of them. But the point is that it annoys me. I'll bet you there's, you tell me, okay, I'm sure you read them more closely than I have. I'll bet there's 400 comments saying, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know if that annoys you.
No, yeah, no. Like you were talking about earlier when you were asking me, did you get my email or whatever? It's just because, like, I just, so many fucking comments, and it's like, it's always on my phone. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? And I'm just like,
well, watch the video and learn. Right,
okay. Like, I gotta leave it up there if you want to platform your frankly, unoriginal thought at this point. It's just like, whatever, I don't care. You don't know this guy, but you watch it. And there's a lot of people who also say that, like, I didn't know who this guy was. I watched this. It was amazing.
Yeah, of course, right.
But it is the truth, too, right? Like, it's like, who does know Dan, right? Who, like, other than people who know him for his notorious nature.
His infamy, 100%.
Infamous nature, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is there might be, I don't want to exaggerate, 20 negative comments.
Well, they're all Dan.
and some of them are clearly Dan. I actually sent some to you. There's one by Anonymous that's so clearly Dan. I'm going to see if I can't find it while we're talking
Real
to you.
Real quick, one of my favorite comments in terms of the positive, funny ones, and this comment itself, as of a couple of days ago, had 1,800 likes. It said, maybe he was bullied for being in second grade at 27. Pretty good.
Yeah. I remember that one. Yeah, people are fucking funny.
Yeah, really funny.
Funny one.
Do you think part of the interest in this is because, you know, true crime podcasts are incredibly popular. And this has, you know, there's no murder or anything like that. But there is an element of crime in some of these stories and fraud. And there's a little there's clearly the element of celebrity, not Dan, but, you know, Mark Maron and Russell Peters and Joe Rogan. Is that part of it, you think?
I think it all adds to it. I think that also him striking me down, the whole background to it also adds to it. But then also, yeah, I mean, there's a shit ton of people involved in this thing. Joe Rogan, like you said, Mark Maron, but also two presidents. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Good point.
Like, Trump and Obama involved with that, and you know, I also added the thing where he has Hillary Clinton calling him hilarious, but I don't think like he announced her at a podium or something. So I don't even know if she. But yeah, no, he is really relentless and just so industrious in his marketing. And Dan's story, I think, and someone mentioned this in the comments too. It's just a great character study. It's like. And I added clips from The King of Comedy. And yeah, it's like it reminds me of that movie. So much.
Rupert Pupkin.
It would be a great, just even fictional movie, just like watching this guy who's just worming his way through life. And the most, just like he's got a lance and he's just a hornet or something. You know, like he's fascinating.
I see this turning into a major motion picture where people are actually playing the roles of Dan Nine and Rob and Joe and
finally
Mark.
God, I hope it's Ryan Gosling playing me. can I say, not that you, I'm accusing you of nothing, however, do you know that our very own Rob Mayer, you thought of this like 3 years ago. You said somebody, now you weren't going to do it,
right?
Somebody needs to make this into a documentary, right? It's going to be fascinating, and there's a lot of meat left on the bone. That's true, but you get to do whatever you choose to do. But let me read you a couple of these comments. One is clearly Dan. Here we go. These are the negatives.
These are hilarious, though.
Dan is getting a lot of publicity thanks to you. Keep his name in the headlines, and he will keep thanking you for your hard work. Parents seem nice, too. Anonymous. Now, that's that is clearly Dan Ninen, right? But you know, they say no publicity is good publicity.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Whatever.
Yes.
No publicity.
All publicity is
good. Right. Yeah. That, you know what I meant, right?
Yeah, well,
the exact opposite of what I said. Anyway, that no way that's true.
No, I mean, because, you know, he used to get corporate gigs, and now he can't.
Can't get them.
Yeah, you Google him, and they're like, well, we can't hire this guy.
I mean, if they do Google him, right, like, who are the ones who are booking these corporate events? I feel like they're the most, like, they're just, like, stuffy old people are really, I don't know. Maybe it's, like, a young person.
Well, if you're booking corporate,
like,
you want
like
safe.
I feel like has some sort of hustle. Dan will never run out of a hustle like
that. If you go onto YouTube to find that one video that he uses to prop him up, all you have to do is look at the second video. You follow what I'm saying? Like that, I don't think there's any way for him to disguise this anymore. I'll bet you he doesn't make 85 cents doing stand-up anymore. No. And it's funny because...
Is that the video where he starts off, I bet you're wondering what race I am?
Yeah.
Then there's like 45 seconds of laughter and applause.
Yes. Well, it's funny because I remember that Nobody Likes Onions interview. And I remember being frustrated because I was on the phone and Patrick Melton kept shutting me up, right?
Yes.
So, but one thing that he said, and it was in there, he's like, hey, if you're so much funnier than me, how come I make so much more money than you? And of course... The truth is, he probably didn't. Even this corporate, even these corporate gigs are probably, there's no way for us to ever verify that. So it's obviously, I think the story's better if he was able to secure these corporate gigs. I think it's better, and if that's then taken away from him through his own hubris, because that's what took it away. Because if he would have laid low and was really getting corporate gigs and propped himself up with that video, he probably could have kept doing corporate gigs.
Okay. I think he got some corporate gigs, but I think he did them for free just to get him more referrals to actually potentially pay corporate gigs.
if you look at like what he's up to right now on LinkedIn, it says angel investor. He also seems to be into Bitcoin. He has this whole story where he talks about like he took Bitcoin to do a show, and it's accumulated over time. But yeah, when it comes to the corporate shows, I think like yeah, he paid for most of the flights. He paid for the hotels. He brought the audio. He brought the camera equipment. He set up a whole bunch of shit for them. He made it very easy for them.
Yeah,
I think it was mostly about getting in the door. And
yeah,
it's a.
But people that have $15,000, they'll Google. You follow? Like,
he could have sold somebody. Look, I got a. It's me and Obama. I've got. He has an impressive little, publicity reel that could get somebody that doesn't know any better. Okay, let's bring this guy, and he's willing to do it for. He's going to be in the area. That the
line.
You got to
remember, though, he plays to Indian crowds in India. Like, I mean, he plays to like in Dubai. Like, he plays to crowds that I don't. Think it's the same mindset, and I can't believe that I didn't really think about that earlier, but like yeah, I mean, he's playing to a very conservative, very traditional crowd of aunties and uncles who, you know, who think he's cute and whatever. And
yeah, but India might be one of the most tech savvy countries in the world, if not the most. They're the every time somebody wants to scam you, that's where they come from, where they steal all your shit. So the idea that they're going to see Dan, they're going to click on one video and they're going to do no other homework. But by the way, now, maybe not in India, maybe I'm wrong, but now he can't do a corporate. Someone in the audience is going to go, well, that's the fucking guy. Somebody's going to do that at this point.
Oh, no, it now he's unbookable. He was never getting work in the clubs and the corporate thing. I mean, you don't want a guy that might punch you if you don't like if you tweet negatively. That's the last thing they want. They
Let
want
me read
safe.
A couple more comments here really quick. Here's one. I've literally never heard anyone mention Joe Robinson and Rob Meyer besides 98 Rock. Yeah, no shit. Yes, that's where we're mentioned. The
that's
radio
not bad,
station
by the
that,
way.
That we're on. Yes, the most popular.
That's a good comment, right?
Yeah, I'm fine
like,
with that.
Like they recognize you at least. There's so many people who are just big assholes.
There's another one that said, I've never heard of any of the comics in this. Well, Mark Maron, you've never heard of.
Well, then you should be watching
yes,
this.
Then what comics have you heard of? Steve Martin and Richard Pryor? I mean, so, yes, clearly it's okay for you to not have heard of me, and it's okay maybe for you to not have heard of Rob, but you should have heard of Joe Rogan. You should have heard of Bob Saget, right? You should have heard of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's on you. You're clearly not interested in comedy, which is weird that you'd be watching this video about the most hated man in comedy.
It seems people are just envious of this guy, including the guy that made this video.
Yep, I'm sure that's it. Yep.
Yeah.
I talked to him.
I
think he's a nice guy.
You gotta realize that people, they just knee-jerk, leave comments that are dumb, and they don't really think it through too much. And I don't know, especially out of everybody, like, how have you not heard of Joe Rogan if you're on YouTube? Like, every other, you watch a video and you'll get recommended Joe Rogan. It's just,
his reach is super
toxic and negative. Yeah. And
before we let you go, Oki, what what's next for you? What do you got on the horizon?
Okay, well, there's this con man from 2000 to 2009 who tricked this family of French aristocrats into believing that they were chased by the Freemasons, the gays, and the Jews. And he got them to hand over everything to him because he was the one who was protecting them from this great conspiracy that he made them believe that everybody was after their property. But for some weird cult mind fuck scenario, they ended up handing everything over to him. So that's what I'm working on right
now.
Wow. Well, insane.
That's good.
That's
but
awesome.
Can I make a suggestion?
Oh,
I would punt that.
Listen to Joe.
And I would immediately, I'm telling you, well, first of all, you struck gold with the Dan Ninen thing, right? You had a great instinct and you followed it. And of course, Rob and I are continually kicking ourselves for not participating, but whatever. Thank you anyway for not shitting on us.
You guys are all over it.
Yeah, we're still.
Yeah, but when you asked us to help, I was like, I'm too terrified of this guy, and that was a mistake. So I apologize for that. But I'm telling you, there's a lot more to this story than what you have.
Well, let's talk off there, and maybe we can convince there to be another documentary.
I'll make one suggestion, if that's even of interest to you. Clearly, you're not going to go back and listen to all 400 episodes of The Robin Joe Show. I'm not suggesting that. But what I might suggest is that you look for the synopses that mention Dan's name, and you aren't going to believe how many stories there are about this guy if you go back. And I forget most of them.
Well, we should start retelling them at some point. Or at least have
start our own Dan Einan podcast.
I did totally comb through those so I listened to you guys on the air with him before he went on the Patrick Melton podcast. I also listened to like afterwards where you guys, you know, celebrate. He got fucked on that podcast. And you guys like, yeah, it's over. And I also totally, Joe, earlier you're saying, Rob was saying, hey, this should be a documentary. You were saying that.
That was me.
A documentary. You're talking about.
I'm trying to give Rob credit.
It was you who's talking about a documentary, the 9/11 liar lady. And you're like, oh, it should be something like that. You were talking about that.
Yeah, okay, sorry. I thought it was the idea was good, so I immediately gave Rob credit
for
it.
Thank you.
But I will say that one thing I never knew about was that Dan faked being in 9/11 too. He's exactly like he did the exact same thing, which, by the way, I don't know that that's anything people know. And one more thing, and then I'm going to let you go. There was a website, and is it still around, that a comic friend of ours, Norm Wilkerson, put together, and it was just this.
Yeah, I talked to him.
You talked to Norm?
He's got some good
on Reddit,
stuff.
Actually, because I was asking you, Joe, who made this blog? There's no name for it left for it. So you told me Norm Wilkerson, and I had to find him, and that you didn't have any social media. Finally, I found him posting on Reddit. So I talked to him briefly, and I asked him to interview, and everybody pretty much said no. So you guys shouldn't be feeling guilty at all.
Sorry, man.
It was like, yeah, I get it. Like, I honestly feel like I need to change my display picture after this, like make it look a lot more professional.
I'm telling you, that wasn't the reason. It wasn't that.
No, it was because we were afraid of having to deal with Dan again in our life.
We hadn't.
No, I get it. Now,
yeah, it had been 3 years since, and I'm telling you, the emails, they were going to my spam, but you know, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be like, I can't talk. You know what I mean? I want to deal with whatever these things are, but I literally turned him off. I muted him. So anyway.
Well, we appreciate you coming on.
It was so over and done with by that point, too. Like when I was contacting you, I think I even mentioned like, hey, this is like ancient history to all of you guys. But like, I'd appreciate it. But like, I totally understood like why you wouldn't want to get back into this. It made total sense to me. And especially afterwards, like where I have dealt with Dan in just about the past few days. And I could see how scary he can be, where I felt like my whole everything was gone. You know, and I get it. he's a scary dude.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that YouTube came to their senses and did the right thing, because the world needs to see this. We're hoping you get to 1 million views, man. We think you got a good shot at it.
Well, we don't, because Rob, we had predictions before the show started, and Rob only had you at 800,000.
I was listening.
By August 1st. September 1st, you'll hit it.
So it's at 1,500 a day so far. It is trickling down. It depends whether I make another video that gets big or not. But yeah, I do think, I think Rob was the closest. I do think he'll get around like 800,000, but we'll see. It's unpredictable.
We talked about you being on the 98 Rock Morning Show. He'll get a couple shots in the arm from that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if you do that, whenever you get a shot in the arm that, it starts showing up in people's, hey, have you seen this? You know what I'm talking about? The YouTube suggestions.
Absolutely.
Both my sons have seen it. From it being in the YouTube suggestions.
Not from you telling them at dinner?
I didn't tell them. I didn't tell. Both of them told me they saw it before I told them about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're the best, Oki. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Thanks for having me.
See you, Mel.
Take care.
See you, Oki.
Bye-bye.
Good stuff, Robbie. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Rob and Joe Show.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob blew... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So we got to we got an improv show coming up July 21st. So that's coming up. It's pretty quick, actually. So hopefully we can sell this place out. It's a Sunday night. Hit Me 90s one more time. Our newest show. Actually, we have a new show we just wrote, but the newest show that we currently do. DC Improv, one of our best venues. It's a really great show. It's an awesome show that really highlights everyone's awesomeness. You cracked me up more than anybody in that show, to be honest, John.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. It really is. It's really in my wheelhouse. It's my voice, and it's me being a dick. So
yeah,
it's very,
yeah.
It's,
well, that's why it was written for you.
Yes, it was. You nailed it that time, and I really appreciate that. And then, literally, 30 days later, you can go to Annapolis and see our brand new murder mystery.
Mm-hmm. Our 10th show.
Wow, is it our 10th?
Yeah, but we don't use
that
them
will
all.
Will be our 10th.
That's a
that's
thing.
Impressive,
I know, but
though.
Still.
Love and Marriage and Murder. It's a you know, on the heels of your actual wedding, or sort of having a wedding that didn't go as well.
So Katie goes, hey, I'm going to go buy a wedding dress at Goodwill.
Okay, cool.
We go. There's like 10 wedding dresses there.
I have no idea what they would cost.
So I've always noticed this. If you go to Goodwill, because I bought a lot of, you know, clothes for murder mysteries there, mm-hmm. 80s, 90s, whatever. The dress, it said $50 on it, but I can't imagine it's $50 because that's got to be the last place you buy a wedding dress. Those wedding dresses are going to be sitting up there for all year. If it's really $50, I'm not going to buy it.
Right.
But I certainly spent...
Can you haggle?
I don't know. It's written on a fucking piece of construction paper. How can you not haggle?
Yeah.
So I say, hey, I need this for a prop in a murder mystery, but I'm willing to pay $20 for it. You tell me. What can we do? But can I say this? It was actually kind of a hot dress. It's like it looked good.
Good. I mean, it's worth it for $50 if it's going to look believable. Katie's the bride in this, if you haven't figured it out.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, yeah, it's a girl part. So I was just telling those guys that wedding dress that you end up not buying, it looked pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah. It was like my exact measurements.
And I'm telling you, if you said this is my wedding dress, what do I know?
Yeah,
that's
a good question. If she came out at the wedding and was wearing that, you'd have been like, yeah.
I really would. Not the other one. The other one that you had, the cream one that you were dragging on the floor and you got in trouble for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Katie's dragging a wedding dress through the Goodwill. But the other one, I'm also an idiot, but I probably would have been like, oh, that looks good, right? Yeah, I would have been like, she looks beautiful. That honestly, if I saw that first one, I wouldn't have blinked.
Well, let's get it.
I mean, I thought it would be kind of cute or ironic to wear kind of an ugly wedding dress.
I don't know. I you're hot chick. There's
no,
some
but
appeal
I mean, I
in
wouldn't,
that.
I wouldn't make myself look ugly or whatever, but I think people will kind of think it's funny to wear one of those big, like, throwback wedding dresses, but...
I think if it looks like it's being taken very seriously, if Justin's wearing a suit and you're wearing that, I think that...
Because we don't have a set otherwise. So this is all we really have make it look like we're trying is the suit. Yes, he can wear a suit, no problem. But a wedding dress.
Just knowing Justin, he probably is getting some ridiculous tux that's like, you know.
It's possible.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to be, I don't know.
Can I tell you what Katie did?
He is playing a dick.
You're never going to guess. Okay, I'm going to give you.
Wait a minute. God. Do I have to wear a suit in this?
I mean, it would be funnier if you wore like a black, you know, like a priest's.
Because I'm the officiant.
Yeah, it's funnier if you have just
I'm
like,
Uncle Pat.
What do you call those things with the collar, with the white thing? What do you call that thing that priests wear?
A collar?
That's right, a collar.
Hootie tootie.
Actually, I think I put this in the, I think I showed you this already. So I think Marcus is the only one that's going to be able to guess. Katie on Saturday.
Why do you have to tell this?
The day
these people.
We went to Sean's party. The mm-hmm. day we went to Sean's party. Katie, it was probably about 3 hours before we were going to leave. She goes, I'm going to go blank. Okay? And she did this.
I don't know this.
You don't?
I know.
Then you get to guess too. She did this by herself.
Yeah.
At about 1 o'clock?
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock at noon. She did this noon
and
Saturday.
Can I say when I came back? Will that maybe help?
Yeah.
I came back at like 2.
Yeah, she was there for 2 hours.
Okay.
You can ask me questions. If
yeah,
you
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
If
is it
like
a physical activity?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Okay. So,
Robbie, do you know this?
No, I haven't heard about this.
Okay, you
were
guys.
Were you outside?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You played golf.
No.
No, because that would seem kind of. She's a good golfer.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be too strange.
Frisbee golf.
Frisbee golf is more reasonable than
no.
This.
Oh, God, it's not.
You guys want to take a guess? It is a. I'll tell you what.
It's a sport?
It is a sport.
Okay.
It is a sport. Yeah, it is. It's a sport.
She's going to go play Dungeons and Dragons.
Not soccer. No, Dungeons and Dragons is not a sport. Continue.
Do you? Okay. Is
chat's allowed to guess as well.
Yes. So
ask me more questions. You'll figure it out.
Do you play this by yourself or against somebody?
A lot of people do. A lot of people do.
It's not a team sport at all, and you don't play against a person.
Okay. But people go by themselves, and people go with people.
Right. They do this activity, yes, both with groups and by themselves.
It's a common hobby?
Archery.
No.
Yeah, like group archery.
Cornhole?
No.
Nope.
You can't play cornhole by yourself.
Well, I guess you could. You can't lose, but.
Right.
Marcus, I'm sorry, you had a guess?
Putt-putt.
No, not putt.
At what point do we just tell them?
I'm going to give a big hint.
Chats. Okay.
Yeah. Matt Colby said shooting guns. No. Although Robbie would have
You know what? It's in the same vicinity as that type of.
Yeah.
Like people who like to do that do this all the time.
That you would go to buy your gun is the same place that you would go to buy the equipment to do this.
Yes.
Fishing.
Yes. So by herself with no one else.
Yeah.
Katie threw her rod, her Zebco.
No, I went and got bait. I went and got live bait.
Into the car.
I got bait. Yeah. I set up a fishing rod. I threw a hook on there, got a bobber and a weight and live bait. And I went down to the pier and I fished for 2 hours by myself.
My question.
What did you catch?
She said she caught a couple minnows.
Little teeny tiny ones. Nothing.
5 weeks in, you're already doing things without your husband.
So let me ask you this. This is all I thought about. You're there, you're fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You're with your buddies. All of a sudden, she walks down by herself mm-hmm. with a rod and reel.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, not in a million years are you going to think someone that looks like Katie is going to come showing up with their rod.
Yeah, did guys hit on you?
That's the first thing I thought, right?
No,
they don't know how to act.
There was a guy with his son, and there was a guy with his son and his daughter. And those were the people that were there. And I was on one side, and they were on the other side. I mean, I gave them the rest of my bait at the end, but nobody talked.
Were you listening to music? Did you have like earbuds in, or were you just enjoying
the nature? Yeah, I had nothing. I couldn't even hear the people that were around me because we were so spread apart.
You need to understand something, Joe. There's a whole new thing going on. It's the modern age. Women are becoming more independent. They are carrying around their rods because they don't need us anymore.
No, yeah, I disagree, but can I say, can I say, I would love if Joe would want to do that. But I know that sounds like the worst thing in the world to him, and I want to do it. So I'm going to be like, hey, I don't need him to go do something I want to do, so I'm going to go do it.
Had you asked him to go fishing in the past?
I have, I'm sure, yeah.
So you just woke up, and you didn't say, hey, do you want to go fishing? You just said, look, I'm going fishing.
Yeah, I said, do you care if I go fishing? I was like, hey, do you care if I just go fishing for a couple hours before we leave?
And I was like, no.
Yeah, he was like, no. I mean, yeah, if he wanted to go or was interested in going there, he would have been like, yeah, I'll go, or yeah, I want to go, but he doesn't.
I don't see Joe enjoying
that.
No, of course
not.
I think he would have made...
He would have ruined my time.
He would have ruined
it. I agree.
Well, I did say I'll go, but she got a good read and she didn't force me, which I appreciate.
Yeah, no, you would have ruined it for me.
Is this going to be a regular occurrence for you?
Ask her.
I would like it to be,
yeah. Is this going to replace porn for you?
You might,
yeah.
You might want to look for a new spot. Because that one isn't, there's no fish running there.
Yeah, I don't think I had the right bait. I think I might need a different size hook. I need to get myself a little tackle box.
Hey, Matt Colby said, imagine Joe's confusion when Katie came home calm, tranquil, and not furious.
Ah, yes.
Did it calm you think?
Yeah, I really, I haven't fished in a long time. last time I fished was with my dad and we didn't catch anything. And then I was frustrated from that. And I thought of it. You know what I mean? I just felt like I wanted to try to challenge myself.
Speaking of fishing. So today I was talking to a lady and she said, hey, I'm going on vacation. I go, where are you going? She said, I'm going to this fishing expo. I go, that's weird. My wife just went fishing 2 days ago by herself.
You're just telling everyone. I go,
she goes,
I'm surprised you didn't say, oh, that sounds shitty.
She goes, oh, my daughter is a competitive fisher. She goes, she has 60,000 Instagram followers. She gave me her name and I can't remember it or I would tell you. Actually, I don't know that I'm allowed
to do
that.
How old was this woman?
I don't know. She looks like she was in her early 20s
Joe
or whatever.
Joe said the fisherman girl was hot.
She was hot.
So I'm saying the daughter is similar to Katie's age.
Yeah, well.
They should be friends.
You know what? The lady was born the year before me.
Okay.
So my oldest is 21. Maybe she's 22, 23, right? Yeah. So that inspired me. You know what I did today? You do know.
I do?
Yeah.
I think I've already forgotten.
I got on Instagram today.
Oh, that's right. I meant to say.
Oh, my God. Can I say, this is so weird to me that the day that some random lady's hot fisherman daughter is on Instagram, you decide to get on Instagram.
Well, I'm not following her.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yes, that is for sure.
Oh, Gramps, yes. All I'm following is Walker Hayes and nobody else.
Are you following Five Bladed Clothing?
Yeah, I think I am following.
You are. Why are you? That's
stupid.
Yeah.
God, it's so dumb.
I followed you. You followed me and Dial Life Productions, and I followed you back. And then we each liked all of your pictures. So it looks like whoever's
you can't gain traction. At this point, you can't gain traction, right? It's too late.
No, I'm just going to. It's like with Twitter, I started late. I'm 1,000 followers behind Rob. Well, how many followers do you have on Instagram, Rob?
Not that many.
He's going to start sliding into people's DMs.
1,653. But I start, you know what you do? Like the other night, I was watching this stupid show on Netflix, Instant Hotel.
Right.
Where like it's these people in Australia. It's like four teams of two. They're either a couple or best friends or whatever. And they each turn their house into like a Airbnb. And then everyone stays there. And then they vote on which is the best. So this one girl is a model. So, of course, then I end up following her on Instagram, Leah J. So now, I mean, what am I going to not follow her? I mean, you know.
Ew, gross.
Exactly. Right.
No,
But I feel like this is creepy, right?
Well, I would, look, it's a medium I need to be on. Everybody's on it. I can't not be on it. And I kept staying off of it because I didn't want to have 20 followers, which is what I have right now. So if you're listening and you're a fan of the Rob and Joe show, I'm Joe M. Robinson 90.
God, people are going to think you are like Dan 9 and you're only 29 years old. You're born in 90.
20?
Why did you put 90? It does look like you're trying to be younger.
That's in my email address.
Yeah, people don't know that, though. Instagram names are really important. And
it's not cool name.
Well, it's my name. What am I supposed to do?
I don't know. You got to get creative, but that's really bad.
Can I change it now?
Yes.
I can't.
Yes,
I can.
Yes, of course you can.
What are you going to piss off your 8 followers?
I don't want to start over.
It took me hours to build this up. No, let's all collectively, the chat can chime in. We can figure this out next week. But let's name Joe's. We'll get some nominees, and then you have to pick between those nominees for your actual Instagram name.
All right, fair enough. If they give me a good name, I will certainly change it from Joe M. Robinson 90.
All right, five-plated comic.
Now, one other thing I want to talk about. I know we're getting near the witching hour here. Sorry, Robbie. So I get a message, a text.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Jeremy Woodworth.
Brother of Eric Woodworth.
Okay. And he's a little terrifying. You guys know that. We've discussed that many, many a time.
No doubt.
Okay? So here's my conversation with Jeremy Woodworth, okay? Now, I do like Jeremy, but he is a little terrifying, okay? And Robbie thinks he's the most uninteresting man in the world. So Jeremy sends me a text. He says, what do I have to do to be on your show? I said, ask.
And then you said no.
He said, just did. I prefer live.
No, he prefers live so he can say horrible things.
Then I said, okay, scary. Well, hold on. Let's build interest in this movie you're making, and then we'll talk about it. We'll talk about this movie. And he goes, well, the beginning and the end's already in the can. So technically it's already 15% done. I don't say a word. A little bit later, he said, so your house today? He's on his way. This is 3:34.
Right now?
No.
What?
He planned on coming here. This was at 4 o'clock. I said, no. I go, we're not going to come over.
God, I'm not prepared for that.
He goes, should I wait for a call sometime after 7? I go, dude, no, hold on. I go, let's make them aware of this movie you're making. Build an interest in the story till their interest is piqued. And then we'll call you. And then we'll let you in. As you can see, that's what I'm getting from him at this point. Right?
What's this movie?
Okay, so I will say, he's making a movie. It's called Baby Eater.
What's that about? God.
The star of the movie is Eric Woodworth, and I don't know what the name of his character is.
I already know the thumbnail that Robbie is going to use for this week's episode.
What's that?
The picture of Eric with the Baby Eater face. Have you seen it?
So I've seen it.
Well, everyone's going to see it because I think Robbie's going to put it
up. Put it on your Instagram, Joe. The whole world will see it.
So Eric is playing the Baby Eater. He's the one that eats babies. And Jeremy doesn't have a job, so he doesn't have any money. So he's like, hey, I need to film some scenes for Baby Eater. Here's what I need you to get. I need to pick up a rack of ribs. I need to pick up this. I need to pick up that. He makes Eric spend $500 in props, and then he comes over, and then he eats ribs or whatever. And he said he sprung on him that he had to do some more filming. But again, Jeremy didn't have any money, so Eric had to buy all the props a second time. He's saying he has 15% of it done. So that means Eric's going to have to do another 7 shoots, right?
Well, I'm sure we'll get that money back.
So this is, Jeremy said he started a GoFundMe.
To make Baby Eater. All right.
So how much money do you think Jeremy, I'm going to contribute today, by the way.
What's his goal? Does he know that?
I do know.
Okay.
He says, if I raise more than blank, I want to try to pay, and he's given some ideas of what he wants people to do, and it's very not politically correct. He actually uses the word trannies, which I know is no longer a politically correct word. But anyway, how much money does he need to raise in order for him to complete Baby Eater on the budget that he's comfortable with? How much?
$5,000.
$1,000.
Okay. Well, that's reasonable.
$1,000.
You're going to contribute.
I'm definitely going to contribute. I just don't know how to yet. I got to go find. I guess I can
Google.
You
don't know how to? What are you, Gramps?
No. I have to find. There's a picture. We'll put that. Send that to Robbie unless he doesn't already have it. I'm going to contribute. I don't know. I know how to find a GoFundMe, but I got to find the Baby Eater GoFundMe. What's it called? Baby Eater?
No, you're right. I have no idea. I think there's multiple baby eating GoFundMes.
I'm going to see right now. Okay. GoFundMe. Baby Eater.
Robbie, how much will you be contributing?
0.0.
Okay.
GoFundMe Baby Eater. Let me see if I can find it.
I have Baby Wyatt. That's different.
Cannot find
it. If it means he's coming on the show, I don't want him to finish it.
So, yeah, Robbie gets really... This is kind of stuff that Robbie has no sense of humor about.
I don't know, man. It might be more awkward than it's interesting.
You mean
we can pre-record him, but I don't want him live.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll do it, Robbie. We'll pre-record him. What do you want? Do you want to wait till Baby Eater's in the
can? Can we have Eric on with him? Can we have Eric on with him?
Man, you got a lot of rules, Robbie.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to make the show good.
Can we bring a baby?
Jesus.
Robbie's so harsh.
That's a good point.
Okay, so you'll have a Jeremy on if we can pre-record and if Eric is also on.
Correct.
Okay. Seems like pretty reasonable rules.
Katie, do you mind having
really
a party
is.
At your
they
house for baby
they're
eater?
Coming
oh,
here?
No, no. It's definitely going to be on the phone, okay. Right? We're not going to.
Would you consider having the Baby Eater rap party here at your
would
home?
Would you consider having the premiere here?
The dailies? The
premiere of the.
Yeah. Can we put it out and then can the whole neighborhood view it?
I'll be fishing that day.
Well, I did.
Maybe you can use some of that dead baby as bait.
Ugh.
Jeremy does say, if I do come over, I'll bring the dailies. It says it there. Now, meanwhile, I know they've already recorded.
That's going to be great on the radio, Jeremy.
Now Jeremy's warming up to me. Can we show Baby Eater to our Patreons, our patrons?
No, I just watched some of it. You can't do that to them.
I'll tell you
they
what.
Don't have to watch
we'll
it.
Make it. Here's the stipulation. If we can put Baby Eater up for our patrons.
Oh, my God.
And we pre-record it. And Eric is also on.
Yes.
Then we can do it. Is that fair?
I also want to be in the movie.
No problem. I mean, I'm sure he's...
What are your qualifications?
I'll work for free.
I'm sure you just made the biggest mistake of your life because now you're on it.
I've done about 500 live plays in my life. It's called Die Laughing Productions.
I promise you we're going to be as qualified as anybody else.
Exactly. I don't think that's the issue. I don't think I'm sitting across from Daniel Day-Lewis at the table read.
I'll be on it, but I will not eat a baby. I need to make that clear right now.
Anyway, that's the show. We talked about Dan Ninen and eating babies and fishing. That's a full Robin Joe show with the new chat.
We got two big shows coming up. We talked about it earlier. Please buy tickets to probably our last performance of Hit Me 90s One More Time now. It's back. Oh, yeah, Hit Me 90s One More Time.
Yeah.
I almost said Back to the 90s and corrected the actual correct name, right?
Easy mistake.
Which we're doing at the DC Improv on the 21st of this month, July 21st. And then August 20th, the next month, we're debuting, what's the name of that one? Love and Marriage and Murder. We're debuting at the Annapolis Rams Head, which has already sold pretty well. There's already about 100 tickets sold.
Pretty good.
So,
in between that, we're at the Bright Box, Winchester, August 10th.
There you go.
Oh, and we're on 98 Rock all week, Joe and I splitting up the week.
Actually, by the time this gets up...
It'll just be you.
Yeah, it'll just be me. It depends on when it gets up Wednesday, because Rob and I had a big debate about who was on Wednesday, but actually... Technically, it's me, but Rob's going to be the one on.
I only go by the email between you and Rick and I that I have made the record.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on tomorrow?
No, Rob's on tomorrow, which is Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I'm on Thursday, Friday.
Cool.
Later, guys.
Later.
Bye.